Let's begin with prayer. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Recently, one of you was telling me about your work with the Wildlife Conservation Society. I'm going to share some of that conversation with all of us this morning. The WCS is the organization that oversees the city's zoos and aquariums. The Central Park Zoo, the Bronx Zoo, the zoo in Prospect Park, all of these are overseen by a singular organization, an umbrella organization that does a lot more than just zookeep. Will, you told me, did you know that we've saved over 600 animals from 600 species of animals from going extinct? What? I replied. You heard me. The Wildlife Conservation Society runs the zoos, but our teams of scientists and zoologists also help save endangered species. And because of our work, there are 600 types of animals still on this planet that otherwise would be extinct. I was pretty impressed. And reading more into the work of WCS earlier this week, it's a pretty incredible organization. They have a singular, clear mission: to save wildlife and wild places. In what they describe as a bold vision for the future, the Wildlife Conservation Society lays out a covenant between themselves and every living creature. They're, of course, not the first to lay out a plan for creation and its inhabitants, but the work that they're doing is particularly successful. And while they probably wouldn't use this word for it, that work is stewardship. When we here in the church talk about being good stewards, we talk about caring for our church and for our city and for our world. We talk about being caretakers of creation, and we view this as a central part of our response to God and God's promise to always be here with us, a promise that we find over and over again in Scripture. After the flood, the voice of God came to Noah, and God said, "I am establishing a covenant with you and your children, and your children's children, and with every living creature. I am establishing my covenant." We heard these words this morning from the book of Genesis, and you careful listeners no doubt noticed that there are at least two phrases in the text that are repeated multiple times. Like an aria that folds back in on itself, these phrases are woven into the text and layered upon the text in ways that make their import known. They're the warp and the weft of the conclusion of the Noah story. Think of a great loom in your mind, where one strand, one fiber is, "I establish my covenant, I establish my covenant, I establish my covenant," and the other is, "With every living creature, every living creature, every living creature." These two phrases work like threads that make a fabric. They become the very substance of what God is doing and what God is promising for all future generations. After the flood, God makes a promise to never again destroy the earth with water. This promise is with Noah, with Noah's descendants, with every living creature, and indeed with us. Living as the heirs of this covenant, each of us are called to respond in ways unique to ourselves and to our talents. In establishing a covenant, God sets a precedent for how we might care for creation. The nature of covenants is that they're not promises made on just one side, but they're mutual, or at least they should be. The covenant God makes between God, God's people, and every living creature implicates us because each one of us becomes a party to that covenant. Each of us, you, me, Noah, God, and every living creature, is covenanted to help care for the earth and those who live here. Now, this is no easy task. And we know it will take all of us bringing all of our diverse gifts in order to do this. I give thanks today for the Wildlife Conservation Society and for those of you who help or support their work. They're doing the work of the Creation Covenant, and in our modern time of globalization, they're saving species and preserving wild places that are part of creation, that God made. One way we might understand their work is that it's God's work. It's faithful work of stewarding creation and helping us all see the fruits of the covenant. I give thanks for the Wildlife Conservation Society in part because we know it's stewardship season, and we're all thinking, or we should all be thinking, about how we're going to be stewards of this church and our community and of our building. We've been thinking and talking a lot about being good stewards of our building and the necessity we have to repair the tower and replace the sanctuary's roof so that we can continue to be a visible sign of God's presence in our community for all who pass by. We've also been talking about our annual fund and the costs of ministry and the programmatic and functional work of our life together. More than a couple of you have come and talked to me asking about how to think about pledging to these two funds. Which is the greater need? Where should I allocate what percentage? How much does each fund need, and how are we doing on them? I love getting these kinds of questions because they give us all a chance to learn together about the work of stewardship. Work that on one level is certainly about the church, while on another level about something much, much bigger than what we can do alone here on our little corner of God's creation. Right now, hopefully all of us are thinking about returning some portion of our gifts to this church by making a pledge of support. We are thinking about allocating a portion of our income as a donation to the annual fund. We are also thinking about giving a portion of our savings or other income to the building fund as an investment in our shared future. No doubt we're also giving to other organizations doing important work throughout the city and probably the world. I give thanks for the gifts each of you give. Now, between God and us and every living creature, there is a covenant. I've already said that covenants, when they're working, are mutual. To each as they need, from each as they are able, together we all work. One other thing about covenants that Scripture tells us, and that most of us know, is that covenants are hard. Covenants require vigilance and work and constant reminders and renewals in order to sustain the promise. Think of the covenant of baptism that we're going to celebrate in just a little while today. In that baptism liturgy, all of us will be reminded to think back on our own baptism and to recall with joy the promises we made or that were made on our behalf. We do this publicly and in the community of the church because it takes all of us, the whole church community, to hold this covenant together. We all witness it. We all remember. We all imagine the future, all of us in this covenant with these children to help them and to grow with them. As a sacrament, baptism is a visible sign of invisible grace, grace that comes from God and that binds us all together. In the Noah story, God gives us another sign when God creates the rainbow in the sky. Now, that rainbow isn't just a pretty way to end a storm. It serves the function of reminding God of the covenant between all of us. It's a sort of divine post-it note for when God might otherwise forget. And evidently, even God knows that that end game of a covenant, the long game that we're all playing, there will be times when it gets hard and where there are challenges and where we might want to give up or not walk the road. And in those times that God anticipates, even God needs a reminder. And God says, I place the rainbow in the clouds, and every time I see it, I will remember my covenant, and that my covenant is between me and you and every living creature. And then God repeats it In that way that Genesis goes over and over the same phrases, we hear again, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember my everlasting covenant. We all need reminders. God likes reminders. Our work of covenanting and stewarding is work we all do together. What the rainbow says is that covenant requires reminders and renewals, and that in doing the work, we occasionally need visible signs to encourage us along the way. We can all be visible signs for one another. As we covenant with each other and with God, we can help one another remember. We do this in our actions, and with our words, and by things that we do and things that we have left undone. We respond by living our lives in covenant with one another and with God and with every living creature. And sometimes this covenant gets tricky, and the work gets harder, and it feels like there are sides being picked and lines being drawn, and we find ourselves in challenging situations. We are reminded once again that we are in such a time right now. Within a covenant, there are rights and there are responsibilities. In the covenant of our Constitution as American people, we are granted the right to bear arms. Within that covenant is an implicit understanding that we will not shoot our children. This covenant is one that is made for all of us. And as much as we are all implicated, we have all failed. Our covenant with guns and God and each other stands broken because of, in our own self-interest of preserving individual rights, we have limited our societal responsibilities. God, who has made a covenant with every living creature, stands perplexed and weeping and wondering, when will we amend our ways and correct our covenant? The birds, the foxes in their holes, the goats, the ants, the cockroaches and the wild beasts, with all of these, God has made a covenant to preserve life. And yet we have not even been able to keep that covenant with our own children. This week, we count at least 14 more young people who will never reach voting age because we adults who bear the rights and the responsibility of our democracy have failed in our regulatory role. Now, I know many good people who are also good gun owners. And I'll be the first to agree that guns serve a purpose. They protect, they provide food. They are part of who we are as Americans and as people. Maybe someday they won't be necessary. I know that today they are. But I'm not talking about guns. I'm talking about automatic weapons. Automatic weapons turned on children and concertgoers and houses of worship when they are no longer just guns. These cruel, cold machines are designed for one purpose: human mass murder. And that is no part of the covenant that God has made with you and me and every living creature. With great power and with great privilege, and with the fullness of our Second Amendment also comes great responsibility. Responsibility to regulate, to monitor, and from time to time to correct. We have broken our covenant with guns. We need better laws, laws being another word for covenant. And we need this to make it so. Our covenant as people of faith who live in covenant with God, with each other, and with every living creature requires our action, calls us to protect our children. And we are here on the first Sunday of Lent, having just remembered that dust we are, and to dust we shall return. I haven't checked Barbara or John's, but my own thumbprint still carries residue of the ashes from blessing you on Wednesday, from making those visible signs for the difficult part of what we might remember. For 40 days and 40 nights, we will walk this Lenten road looking for more reminders of the covenant of faith that must always be renewed. I don't know if we need more ashes or more rainbows, but clearly we need something to give us courage and strength for the work of correcting and amending our covenant as a people with each other and with God. Preserving wildlife and wild spaces, stewarding our church and other organizations that do God's work, safeguarding our children, regulating our power to destroy. God has a bold vision for us and for our future. For us, for everyone born, for every living creature, God has made a promise and has placed a rainbow in the clouds that whenever we see it, we will remember the promises of God, that God will always be with us, that God will never desert us, that no place we can go is away from God's presence. With God on our side, let us be bold in our vision too. As we walk this Lenten road, may we look at our rights and our responsibilities. May we discern balance. And may we all do the work to point all of us toward God's vision for us, for you, for me, for all of creation, and for every living creature.